This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Baruchim Abayim, welcome, Rabbi Rabotai, to the fourth Yortzeit Azkara, Morinu Rabbeinu Aguna, Rav Aaron Walkin, Zeche Tzedik, Bekadosh Lebracha, Rosh Yeshiva V'Chazak, Yeshiva Ben Yatam Yir, Kol Zirchem Moshe V'Leah. So Mamish literally feels like it was yesterday, during Corona, during COVID, when we heard the tragic news, the sudden p'tirah of the Rav Zatzal. And we're going to hear tonight many, many words of Devei Zechonot and Devei Chizuk from various different rabbanim from the community. And all I could say is that one of the many qualities that the Rosh Yeshiva had was that there's a line, and this line applies to the Rosh Yeshiva. And I try to live by this line. It's very hard, but we try our very best. The line is as follows. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. A person could know the Torah inside and out, backwards and forwards, but if there isn't that kesher, that relationship, it's not the same. But the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal had the Torah, and he had that care, that warmth, that I'm sure we're going to hear about from the various different rabbanim and speakers. So without further ado, I'd like to call upon our dear friend Robbie Aboff, Operations Manager of Chazak, who will MC tonight's program. And Be'ezat Hashem, we should only hear the Sarot.
Thank you, Rabbi Mirov. As you know, Rabbi Mirov is the head of the Chazak organization, very close to Rosh Yeshiva. And I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. We have so many tremendous Talmidim of the Rosh Yeshiva who are going to address us one after another for a few minutes. And then we're going to have Rabbi Goldwasser following as the keynote speaker. It's our great honor to call upon one of the great Rabbanim in the community, Rabbi Rafalos of Luna, for some different questions.
Erev Tov, Chodesh Tov to everyone. It's always good to be the first speaker. And you know for sure that you're not going to repeat anything that other people are going to say. In fact, when Rabbi Yaniv was giving the introductory remarks, I felt like he read my mind. I'm going to read you a piece of Gemara in Baba Batra Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which I think I can connect to my Rebbe. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ram Zachur Oto Ha'ish Lato V'Yoshua Ben Gam Vashmo. He says, this person should be remembered for good. His name was Yehoshua ben Gamla. He was one of the Kohanim HaGdolim in the second Beit HaMikdash. Ilmalei hu nishtakha Torah Mi'Israel. If it wasn't for him, Chas v'chalil, the Torah might have been forgotten from Am Yisrael. What did he do? Shebetchila mi sheyesh lo av milamdo Torah. In the beginning, the way it used to be, before Yehoshua ben Gamla, whoever had a father would teach his son Torah. Mi she'en lo av lo ayo lamed Torah. People that didn't have fathers, they lost their fathers at a young age, or for whatever reason, and they got divorced. The son wouldn't learn. There's no father in the house to teach. My darush, why do they think that that's the appropriate way? Because it says in the pasuk, limatem otam, limatem atem. It says you should teach them, and the way the pasuk, the word otam, is atem, that you should teach yourself. Which means to say, either you, the fathers, teach, or the person is going to teach himself, but there's no obligation that some other person should come. Yeshua ben Gamla came and he said, then they made a takana. It's not enough to rely only on the father. They're going to make melamde tinokot, literally teachers for little kids. I'm not sure if this is like a cheder or a yeshiva. Teachers for little kids in Yerushalayim, and they had a pasuk for that as well. And then they said, no, that's also not enough. And they decided that every city should have teachers. And eventually got to a point where the takana, this decree extended, where every single neighborhood, every single building, to such an extent that if the neighbor said, no, we don't want noise, it's too much, you could protest other businesses from opening, but you can't protest a yeshiva or a cheder from opening. And this was all Yehoshua ben Gamla's zechut, because he's the one that realized this need, that the father himself, sometimes there's no father to teach. So Ram, that's why he's remembered for good. A Rosh Yeshiva recently came from Eretz Yisrael. He said, I don't understand this Gemara. Usually, when the Gemara tells us, this was the history of how this decree came about. The way it usually looks is like this. The people were good. They were very religious. They were very careful about law. So there was no need for a decree. And then, unfortunately, generations, they deteriorate. And they had to make special decrees to keep people religious, to be kept up from. This seems like an obvious thing. Moshe Rabbeinu should have made this already. What did they do before yeshivas were around? How did people learn? Seemingly, this is where a generation wasn't good before, and now they became better. How could that be? So this Rosh Yeshiva of Tzvi Altman from Eretz Yisrael said the following. He said, what we're being taught over here is the following. A kid goes to yeshiva. Right, today we have secular studies. But without secular studies, imagine an entire day spent in yeshiva. 7-8 hours learning by a Rebbe, Aleph Bet Mishnayot, whatever it is that they're learning. Let's say this kid didn't go to yeshiva. Instead, his father had to teach him. How many hours can a father spend every day teaching his son? Father has to go to work. He comes home, 6, 7 o'clock, whenever the sun sets. The kid has to go to sleep soon. So they spend half hour maybe eating, I don't know, maybe talking to each other, and then probably another half hour, maybe an hour, learning with his children. And that's if he only has one son. If he has 3 sons, 5 sons, and each one's a different age. So he spends 15 minutes with this one, 15 minutes with that one. So we're talking about a father devoting maybe daily 15, 20 minutes per child in an average family. He says, before the takana of Yoshua ben Gamla, the 15, 20 minutes that a child spent with his father was just as good as spending 6 hours in yeshiva. Why? He says, because here you're learning from your father, and here you're learning from a stranger. Learning from a stranger is not the same thing as learning from your father. When you learn from your father, you're not just being taught. You know, see, look at this. This is Aleph. Repeat after me. What about this? This is Bet. And then when you get to Mishnayot. Like Rabbi Meirov said, you have to know that the person cares about you. And if the person cares about you, you open up, and you're able to receive things much faster, and you're able to understand things on your own, because you're being taught by somebody who loves you. Whereas when you're learning by a teacher, and Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeim and Am Yisrael are very dedicated people, but at the end of the day, it's not his child. And next year is going to be another class. Another 20, 30 kids to get used to. So therefore, the kesher is not that strong like with the father, and therefore he has to take several hours a day for the same information to be inculcated into the student. Rabbi Wolkin taught with a lot of love. So much so that my first introduction to him was he used to have a Sunday shiur. It happens to be it was a quite long shiur, 3-4 hours. But that's not because he spoke for 3-4 hours. It's because he let everybody speak. He would ask a question, 5 people would offer their answers, he would comment on each one, depending on how much the person is close to him. Sometimes he would praise it, sometimes he would tease the person, make fun of him if he was very close. We got a nice stinging remark, because he knew that you can handle it. That's how the shiur went. You were sitting there, you were learning, not with a teacher, not with an instructor that's cold and doesn't even know who you are, and just be quiet and listen. You were sitting over there learning with a friend, and probably more than a friend, more like a grandfather. Even though that was only once a week, it made a big impression on me. There were many other people, some of them are sitting in this room, many others already are much older, moved out to other places, but it made a huge impression on me. Very, very big impression. Once a week only. Then, Baruch Hashem, the way things turned out, Hashem had mercy on me that I was able to spend more time learning in the Beit Midrash, and I was able to see Rabbi Wolkin again, much more hours of the day. But it's not as if the entire time he was speaking to me, dedicating his energy to other Talmidim, dealing with people's struggles with their parents, their struggles eventually when they got married, with their chinuch, with their shalom bayit, and all sorts of other things. Observing this person in action, it wasn't just learning Torah, it was also trying to absorb his fatherly energy. And that's what we're going to miss very, very much. Baruch Hashem, a lot of his Talmidim became important figures in the community. Rabbi Meirov, Rabbi Yaniv Meirov, Rabbi Ilan Meirov, a good friend of mine. I remember when they just started their organization, Chazak, they were still thinking about what the emblem should be, the logo. Should we call it Chazak with a Q, that famous story that the Wolkin told was a big mistake. What's with the Q? I remember still he said, when we were in the Beit Midrash. The seeds that he planted, just like a father plants, he doesn't go with the son to college and sit with him and teach him every single thing. He gives him that initial push, and the child knows that my father's behind me, he has my back. That gives him enough confidence, enough energy, that whatever he's going to do in life, he's going to think, my dad's with me, my dad's thinking about me, my dad's davening for me. That's the feeling that people had when Rabbi Wolkin was around, and I remember that when we got the news, the very difficult news that he passed away, the one phrase that everybody said, it's a huge void. It's not something that you could just replace with another person. Chas v'shalom, not to compare, but a teacher passes away, no, so there's a substitute. There's not a substitute for such a person. It's very hard to replace that personal connection that he had with every single person. I'll end off with one phrase that he used to say that I was thinking about it yesterday whenever Yaniv texted me and reminded me about the outside. So preoccupied, I forgot. Rabbi Wolkin used to say, I'm sure other people have heard it as well, people would come in distracted from whatever was bothering them, and sometimes they couldn't focus in shiur. So he used to say, listen, when you walk through that door, you hang up your problems on the doorknob. I promise you, they'll still be there at the end. Nobody's going to take them. He says, don't worry about it. Walk in, you hang it like you hang up your coat, you're going to come out, they'll still be there. Don't worry about it. Just when you're here, focus on your learning. And that's how we try to, you know, it was a difficult thing to adjust to, obviously. But yeah, when you walked in, you tried to forget, okay, now we're learning this, we're doing it. I want to tell you that the one person that took those problems off the doorknob was him. People came to him and they complained, and we all went home feeling better that I was able to vent, I was able to unload to somebody else. But we didn't know that when he went home, he would spend nights in Tehillim, learning, mentioning people's names, crying, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give him etzot. He would call, whether it was doctors or askanim, to find out for this person a solution. And we were just, you know, we just thought it was a person who was listening to us, and that's it. You know, might as well just talk to a statue. No. This is a person who went with all of our problems home, and he tried the best that he can, whether it was to help or to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to try to make the person's burden easier. That's a very, very difficult thing to replace. I very much miss him. And Be'ezat Hashem, our success, our accomplishment, I'm sure he's looking down and he's smiling and he's taking pride in the fact that he was able to set all of this in motion. Be'ezat Hashem, we should all be zocheh to see the Gevurah Shlema and to see him with us again. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.
Amen. That was everyone off your tremendous remarks. Our next speaker is Rabbi Binyamin Chaimov, who's very close, of course, to Rosh Shiva and Smicha from Rosh Shiva.
I actually joined the Rabbi later. I was already much older. I didn't spend so much time, but I'll share. I don't have so many stories like Rabbi Zevulunov, but I'll share what I picked up, what I learned from him. There's a famous shuva from Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. Rav Chaim Mivolozhin was one of the greatest students of the Vilna Gaon, and he wrote a tshuva about the aguna de Vilna. There was a aguna. Aguna is a woman that doesn't know what happened to her husband, and she's basically stuck, unable to be remarried. So Rav Chaim oversaw this case, and after he permitted this aguna, a different rav had a problem with it. He says, how do you permit such a woman with no evidence or not enough evidence? And this is his reply. This is Rav Chaim's reply to the Tamid Chacham. And he says the following: Bi'inyan haguna de Vilna, samti enai al kol dibur ve'amira ni'ima. I placed my eyes on every word, the pleasant words of this woman. Viraiti, and I saw shebirov dvarenu, that in most of our words, kevanatenu holech el makom echad, we're on the same direction. Ela shkvot torato, but what does that mean? He's referring to the Tamid Chacham. Note la chumra, you're being strict, you're being stringent. Machma she'en adavar matul alav, is because the achrayu, the responsibility of regarding this woman is not on him. Va'afani kamohu, meaning I'm also like him. Lo paniti el tzadi heterim ha'olim mitoch iyun terim ha'ulah alai ol ha'hora'ah. He says that I did not look, me, personally, Rav Chaim is saying that I did not look for heterim to paskin this she'ila, this type of she'ila, until that responsibility was placed on me. So he's saying to the Tamid Chacham that, you know why you're strict? It's because there's nothing on you. You don't have to paskin over here. The responsibility is not on you. You're sitting in your chair, and you can be machmir, but the responsibility of psak is on me, Rav Chaim is saying. And therefore, he says, "Ve'inata be'amanotenu harabim sivoten nityatem ador mechachamim." And because the generation, he lived in the 1800s, and he says that because in our generations that the door is bereft, they're missing chachamim. Ve'ha'alu al tzavari ol ha'hora, the responsibility of psak went on my neck. From all around, she'enu materim b'shum ofan, that they would not permit any womb without asking me first. And he says, v'chashavti imkoni, I spoke with my Creator. I thought of what my Creator would say. I saw that there was a tremendous obligation on me to lishkod al takanat adgunot. So what the Baal Musa point out from this Rav Chaim is that to be a leader, it's not enough to know a lot of Torah, and it's not enough to have a lot of Yirat Shamayim, which are all necessary. You need something more. You need to feel responsibility for the Yam. You need to have that love. Why? What is that? What's missing? If I know a lot of Torah and I have a lot of Yirat Shamayim, what else could be missing? So I don't love people as much as I should. You know what would be missing? That when you see a case in front of you, when you have to paskin, when you have to rule, when you have to find a solution, there's not enough adrenaline in your blood to come up with focus. And that's what Rav Chaim was saying, that because I felt love to this aguna, meaning I felt to all people, therefore, I pushed myself to find the heter. And this is something that Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he talks about, very interesting, he says, Cain, when he brought the flax seed, right, as the korban, came up with the idea. So Rav Moshe asked a very obvious and famous question. He came up with the idea of bringing a korban. Why would you bring from the cheap stuff? Bring from the best. So Rav Moshe answers, he says that because in front of Hashem, everything belongs to Hashem. Right? Well, what's the difference if I bring a 100 cows, 2,000 cows? What's the difference? It all belongs to Him. So the point is, the fact that my thought, my energy, I want to give something to Hashem. So what's the difference what I give? The opposite. You, by bringing less, you're showing that everything belongs, that I can't give God anything. By bringing less is the opposite. By giving less is better. This was what Cain thought. So what was the mistake? So Rav Moshe says the mistake was that he lacked a certain energy that is necessary when it comes to Avodat Hashem. You can't be robotic. You need love. You need Ahava. And without that, you'll stumble. You'll make mistakes, Rav Moshe says, if you don't have that Ahava. A robot will make a mistake because the world is not made of robots, it's made out of people. And you need this ahava in order to get it right. And that's why I picked up from our Rebbe, that it was not just he was a tremendous Tamid Chacham. He loved people. And when you love people, you push yourself more. You find the energy. A person who's cruel will very easily decide, I can't help. I tried. It didn't work. I really tried. It doesn't work. But if you love people more, you'll find a solution. There's something within you. When you want something, where does the want come from? When you love people, you'll find a solution for them. And even when you can't, you dive into Hashem. You'll do as much as possible to be moser nefesh because you love people. And this is, I think, this is what we that I learned from him, and what we can learn from him is that to love people as much as possible. When you love people, you'll be moser nefesh even more. His chut should be a salvation for us, and should try to emulate as much as possible his kochot. We're not going to have his kochot, but something to learn from him and to better our ways.
Our next speaker is a rabbi who's very close with at the Rosh Yeshiva, is the head of the Chazak Night Call. It's another call upon Rabbi Menachem Zaka.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. You know, we see from about who Rebbe was from his main Talmidim. And both Rabbi Ilan and Rabbi Niv are people that see their Mesirut Nefesh as something that everyone deserves day to day. Trying to see more, how can I help more? How can I bring Mabit Sarah more? How can we bring more people into the shuls, into the Bate Midrash? How can we increase learning more and more? So it must have been a zechut to work with both Rabbi and Rav Yaniv, Baruch Hashem. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to participate in this beautiful meeting with the goal of being Mevare Mechusho Tzadik, to clarify a little bit for ourselves the Nekudot that we can take away from what Rebbe was kona over his short life. You know, when the Chazal say Magale Befume, a pearl in the mouth of a particular Tana or Amora, right? You know, why do they call it Margale Befume? It was like a saying that they said a lot during their lives. Okay? You know, we know from the Parashiyot of Yaakov Vinu and before him, Eliezer, right? The way merchants, right? Jewelers and people who were traveling, they needed to store valuables like gems, right? And precious pearls, you keep it in their mouth. You store it in their mouth, right? This lashon of Chazal comes even before, right? We know in the parasha of Tefillin, right? Leman tia Torah Hashem beficha, right? We put on Tefillin for the purpose that Hashem's Torah should be in our mouth, should be stored in our mouth, should be part of us, should be able to take it with us wherever we go. Was Hashem should be zocha to all the beautiful words of Zlunov and after Reb Chaimov and the rest of the rabbinim of Hashem tonight. Be able to have some takeaways, to have a little bit of the Magale Befume of Rebbe, and I wanted to focus on a couple of those by introducing number one first. There's a beautiful Tovus Yaakov Yosef, the main Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov, and the Tovus Yaakov said something amazing. I heard this from Moshe Weinberger literally 25 years ago in the Queens Valley. I used to give shiur in the Queens Valley, if anyone remembers. So the Toldos said the following: a person would want so much to be able to give over to his child, to his student, to his son, to his child, even if one is learning with his chavrusa, and you want them to receive what the Torah that you want to say, okay, that you intend to give to them, you want them to receive it the same way that you intended, that you wanted, that they should hear it. There's a secret. The secret to that success, to that effective transmission of Torah from generation to generation, from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud, from Chavruta to Chavruta, it's that Torah, that thing that you want to share, has to come from a selfless place. My much selfless. I went, when I heard this from Moshe Weinberger, I went after and I asked him the following. And we say in the tefillah, in Av or Rabban, we pray to have a strong connection relationship with Hashem Yitzvah through the Torah. The first thing we ask for is lehavin, to understand. The shorish of Ava, the Sfar Mekdoshim say, is hav, to give. So the proof is in the pudding, right? When you see the word hey bet, right? The shorish of Avam, you see it also in the word lahavim, to understand. So the person understands. It's an indication he received from his Rebbe. Why? Because his Rebbe gave over the Torah from a selfless place, a place without self-consideration, without self-interest. One of the things that Rebbe always used to hear him say after drasha, like those sundries, those amazing sundries drashot, where you, in a matter of an hour or two, you heard so many different. It was astonishing how many marmakot, how many sources of Torah he was able, the Rebbe was able to cover in such a short span of time. Afterwards, when people were praising the immense godless of this the shiur, the Torah that he just heard, what would Rebbe say? Remember? He says, the Torah is beautiful. He did not allow the kavod to eclipse his kavod, to eclipse the kavod of Torah. The Gemara in Nedarim is a beautiful account of Avraham Avinu from bringing his, having a little party with Malkut Tzedek, the Kohen, right? The first Kohen. And Malkut Tzedek began to praise Avraham Avinu after he won the war with the Melachim. And what was Avraham Avinu's response? He said, is it possible that you're praising the servant before the master? It's at that point that Avraham Avinu received the kuhuna for generation to come. Generation to generation, we have kuhuna only because of that defining moment where Avraham Avinu did not take the credit for himself. He did not allow the kavod that someone else is giving him to eclipse the kavod of Hashem Yitbarach. I was zocha Baruch Hashem. I'm so grateful to Hashem Yitbarach. I was zocha to spend much time with Rebbe. Got my first job at a kollel through Rebbe, and afterwards he hired me to teach Gemara in the yeshiva. And to spend some car rides with him, pouring out my heart, my troubles. Which he, mamash, she was like a mayim karima, nefesh ayefa, mamash, she was mechazik miyad mohon. Magale b'fumi, a pearl in the mouth of Rebbe was the words, it's not about me. Over and over, just to hear him say this, it's not about me. You know, when we're bringing up a child, when bringing up someone who's going to take Torah, bring Torah to the next generation, we say at the Brit Milah, Ze katan gadol yihye, right? And we bless the child, the parents, his kele gadlo, the Torah al chubal mas also, the lashon of gadlut, right? Gadol. You know, after Bezat Hashem, after Sfat Omer, we were working ourselves for 49 days and receive the Torah anew. We don't want to just become Tamid Chachamim, we want to become Gedolim. Why? The Savina Rav says an amazing. Savina Rav, he was a Dayan in the Beis Din Yerushalayim a generation ago. He told me that the meaning of Zeh Katan, Gadol, yeah, the meaning of Gadol, is that a person is completely selfless. He's selfless in his Torah learning, in his teaching. He's selfless in his relationships, in his relationship with his spouse. He's selfless in all of his ma'asim. The Hashem should be zocha through the magalit b'fumet of the pearls of wisdom that we'll hear from the other rabbanim of the Hashem, the rabbanim that came before me, to zocha to receive always that should be just like we took away from these pearls of wisdom, should be able to keep it in our mouths.
Thank you, Rabbi Zaka, for your tremendous remarks. Next speaker is Rabbi Michal Chaimov, who is at Smith and Hashiva, who is on the Rabbanim Nekmeen. Michal.
Erev Tov. I want to say Chazak Baruch to the organizers of tonight's event, Rabbi Yaniv Meirov, the Chazak organization. I got a phone call a few days ago. Reminding me that tonight's going to be the yahrzeit of our dear Rebbe, Alav HaShalom, Alav HaHaron, Valkin, of blessed memory. who I had the privilege of learning under, I had the privilege of meeting about 8 years ago, and he... And our Rebbe, he put many things into perspective for me, and he enhanced my Avodat Hashem in many, many, many ways. So our Rebbe, for many of us, was not only a Rebbe, he was a mentor, a father, he was a therapist to many people. He would, mamash, countless hours sit with people, talk to them, give them attention, give them love. He was Ohavan Shel Israel, and he was Ohev Hashem to levels that we, mamash, will never know. There's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat that discusses a case of what to do when a baheret, a skin affliction, grows in the Makom HaMilah. We know that the baby who's 8 days old needs to have Brit Milah, but there is a prohibition that prohibits cutting off a baheret, a skin affliction of Tzara'at and the like. So what do you do if the Tzara'at grows on the Makom HaMilah? Do you do the Milah, perform the mitzvah, or do you say, no, I'm not allowed to cut the baheret, and therefore I don't perform the mitzvah? Gemara says you perform the mitzvah. And from here, this is one of the sources to the principle, the very famous principle in Chas, Ase dohe lo ta'ase. A positive command is dohe, pushes off a lo ta'ase, a negative command. What's the deeper meaning of Ase dohe lo ta'ase? So the Chachmei HaChassidut, they explain that an Ase, I mean a positive command, stems from Ahavat Hashem, from the love of God Almighty. A lo ta'ase, it's Mekor, it stems from what? From Yirat Hashem. So the Gemara is telling us that an Aseh Ahavat Hashem is greater than Yirat Hashem. The love of God is on a higher playing field, on a higher level than Yirah of Hashem. Of course, there are higher levels of Yirah, but simply put, when you have Yirah and Ahava, Ahava is step two. It's a higher level. And this is who our Rebbe was. Bivchinat Aharon HaKohen, who was Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. He was Ohev et HaBriot, and he was an Ohev Hashem, Mamash, to levels that we will never understand. I remember his Ben Adam Lechaviro, I'll just paint you an example. There was once a middle-aged gentleman, who is what we call a yenter, again, came inside one day the Bet Midrash, and Odio said, hi, complaining about this, complaining about that. He walks over to me, Pachimu Eta, Pachimu To. I tell him, listen, I'm not in charge, have a good day. I don't have time for you. So he's looking for who's in charge. He finds Rav Aaron walking in the back. He goes to him, Rabbi! And he starts to give him a whole... earlord, and I turned around, I turned from my shtender, I wanted to see how the Rav was going to handle the situation. It's okay. He said, I'm sorry, even though he didn't do anything wrong. Harav, and still, I'm sorry, that's so dick. And he calmed him down. In the end, the gentleman sat down with him, and he said, no, kibbutz Harav, I'm sorry. And he basically mellowed him out, and he became also a lover of Harav, Aaron Valkin. He had a way with people. He had an ahava for people, as was mentioned prior to when I got up, that he was mitpalel behind closed doors for people's problems, and it takes an Adam Gadol to really understand that people need the tefillot of the rabbi, and he was mitpalel ba'adenu, and I'm sure that in his zechut, you know, the pandemic was minimized, and many, many people, they had brachot in their own lives in the zechut of the Rav. I just want to touch on one point that Rav Zakai mentioned. He said, margila bepume, and it's a very, very famous statement that certain rabbanim would say. And Rav Valkin had many, many gems that would come out of his mouth. One of the gems that's very apropos to today's generation is be normal. He used to say, be normal. Don't go crazy. Be normal. Be healthy. Okay? Don't be... I'm scared to use a certain bituim, but don't be a frumnik. Don't go... You gotta be normal. You gotta have that Ahavat Hashem with you all the time. You cannot be OCD about mitzvot. We perform mitzvot with fervor, with love, with misirut nefesh, like the Rav himself was moser nefesh. But one thing he always stressed is be normal and be happy. Tismach be'avodat Hashem. That if you're avodat Hashem, if you're not happy, then you're not holding in that. And you gotta make sure that you're holding in all the humrot that you take upon yourself. And your mamash, you're excited, and your mamash serving Hashem from ahava, then you could keep all of the humrot. But if you're not holding there, the rabbi would say, first be happy, first be normal. And that's a gem that we take with us for the rest of our lives. That what? That avodat Hashem, it needs that fervor, it needs that ahava. And Bezrat Hashem, the Rebbe will be a Militz Yosher, Ba'adeinu Gad Kol HaKala Kadar Shazer, V'cheni Hi Ratzon Min Omar. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. somebody close Talmud of Rav Shiva, person who's very instrumental in the continuation, the legacy of the Beis Medrash, which is keeps on going stronger and stronger. Let's call upon Moshe Sayed.
Good evening, everybody. As many of you know, I'm generally a person of many words. I always have what to say, Baruch Hashem. But for 4 years, I haven't really found any words to say, and I don't think I'm going to find much words tonight to say, except for the obvious. It was a tremendous loss. The year that the Baruch passed away, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to Reb Chaim on his last visit. And the bracha that he asked Reb Chaim to give him is that when he davens for people's Refuah Shleima, the bracha should be mitkayem. That was the bracha that he asked for. And, everybody here, I'm sure, had very close relationship to the Rav and understood, but the magnitude of what was lost is unfathomable, unbelievable. Rav Sadon once told me that this bracha took a seeds of tzedikim, I forgot from which neshama, or it was. This is something in the Zohar, and he threw them into all the generations. And one ended up here, one ended up here, and you see that every single generation has certain gdolim and certain people that are, yotzim in a klal, something. And so, first of all, I just want to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to be, that I was put in his presence for those many years. And The fight that's still inside of me is because of him. Is because of what he instilled in me. He was a person who taught you how to look at every single person with a certain way, with a certain love, with a certain admiration. And like I said, I can't, there's not enough words. I don't even know how to formulate the words to be able to explain what he was and who he was. But I will say one thing: there is a Navi Daniel, and it says. This I heard from Rabbi Naftali Horowitz. And he said something beautiful. He said, right, Rashi says over there, that Matzdikei Rabim are kochavim, like stars. People who are Matzdikei Rabim. Rashi says, those, right, who's he talking about? Talking about people who are Melamdeti Nokecha Bet Rabban, people who teach, students who teach. And why does one have to do with another? So he's saying the closest star that we have today to our planet, when we look up to the sky, the closest star that we see is 4 light years away, which means that 4 years ago there was a light. It took 4 years for that light to travel. So the light we see now is only from 4 years. It's from 4 years ago. It's not from now. It's not like you turn on this light and you see it right away. It's something from 4 years ago. And there are stars that are as far as 1,500 years that we look up and we see. And what does that have to do with a person who's being people who are teaching Tinoch Shabbat Rabban is what you see, the furthering of the generations and how people, their families keep going, their kids are from, the messages get passed along, and the Shkuyot continue, even though he's not here, the Shkuyot continue. And, I've personally had many, many miracles and different things that I've seen. And I know that a lot of it is from his koch and from his tefillos for us. He used to sit in the Beis Medrash and cry, and people say he used to cry in private. I used to see him cry in public. A guy used to come in to collecting tzedakah. The guy's telling him his problem. He used to start crying. I've never seen that ever. A guy, because you get used to it. This guy comes, I lost this, I have this, I have this sickness, lalenu. Everybody comes with a new thing, and he's sitting there crying over other people's problems. It's a level that I've never seen. And I guess that was one of the main things that connected me to him, is his high level of sensitivity towards other people, his love for other people. And, that's something that, their words can't explain. So, with that said, I, first of all, like I said, thank you, Baruch Hu, for putting me in my life. And I daven that Rebbe should be a Melech Yosher for us, for all of us, like he is. And the same way he was sitting here and crying and davening for all of us, he should continue doing it from there. And I have a request that Baruch Hu should be able to, maybe can't fill the void, but help us, get our heads above water, because for me that void is still very, very real, and I'm sure I'm speaking for other people here as well. And really, I hope that we really get to unite very, very soon, like they say, Tikkun the Meshicha, and hopefully it comes sooner than later, so we'd be able, you know, I used to make a famous joke. He used to tell me, Moshe, after 120, my Talmidim, I said, they're going to forget the jokes, and they're going to remember the Torah that I told them. But I still remember the jokes as well. I used to joke with him. I used to say, Rebbe, I used to say, in Gan Eden, I'm going to be in your class as well. I used to make him a little crazy. I said, in Gan Eden, I'm going to be in your class as well. He tells me, Moshe, Gehenna is only for 11 months. And that love that he really kept us going, and Bezrat Hashem, we should see Mashiach Tzidkenu spilling in our days, and Bezrat Hashem, we reunite and be able to see that fire, that love, that light, Bezrat Hashem, very soon again. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Moshe, for your meaningful remarks. The keynote speaker tonight was our great honor, Kopan Rabbi Dov Goasser. Appreciate who himself is a tremendous, renowned speaker and author and Rav in Klal Yisrael, and of course he himself was very close to the Rosh Yeshiva. So
thank you very much. Birshut Kahal Nechbad, Rav Yaniv Shlita, Rabbi Eboff Menahel. The last picture I have of the Rosh Yeshiva was together with Rav Yaniv and myself, L'orech Yomim Tovim. When I came in this evening and I saw Rav Yaniv sitting in the front, already brought back to me Zichronot of the Rosh Yeshiva just to see him. I tell you, it is very difficult to define the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Volkin was, you could not define him. You could not describe him. You could not measure him. You could not try to quantify, to qualify. Yaakov Avinu was asked by Esav a very interesting question. Usually we would not think that Esav would ask such a question. He asked him, Hagidono Shemecho, tell me your name. Yaakov Avinu, tell me your name. Vayomer lomo zeh tishal lishmi? Why are you asking me my name? It is interesting that some people do not want to reveal their nature because they are constantly changing. The Rosh Yeshiva had a different din. You could not tell his nature. Was he chassid? Was he litvak? Was he Ashkenaz? Was he Sfard? Was he Machmir? Was he Mekel? Was he Rosh Yeshiva? Was he Rebbe? Was he father of? Was he brother? Nobody knows. Because he was all of those. And to every person, he meant something a little bit different. To have the Rosh Yeshiva the years that he was here, I can't even tell you, it's a matana tova that Hashem gave to us. The fact that years after, Chazak makes a tribute and Talmidim and Rebbeim come and say, Divrei Zichronot, it shows that the memory of the Rosh Yeshiva will be here forever. When I go in Lakewood and I go to his shul, everything is exact the way it was when he was living. The chair is there. His sefer is there with the hundreds and hundreds of names that he used to be mispalo for all the time. When I came in one time, I didn't even know who he was. First time I met him, he told me, please sit here. Look like a rabbi. I said, okay. I sit there. Then all of a sudden I begin to chop. He put me in his chair. I jumped up. He said, no, you got to sit here. I said, Rav, I didn't know his name. Rav, this is your chair. No, I'd be more comfortable. I would be more comfortable. You would sit here. Back and forth. And it never changed the entire time. When Chazak made a dinner, and they brought out to him the dinner, I forgot the name of the place, so he insisted that the waiter give me the portion first. I said, Rosh Yeshiva, you're Rosh Yeshiva. I'm just a visitor here. I'm from the, you know, just a guest. He said, no. Din is that you've got to have the first portion. I figured, okay. Finally, they brought him a portion. He put it, he's sitting here. He put the portion maybe 2 feet away. He pulls out a Rambam. The rest of the main course was Lechem Mishnah. No eating, no drinking, just talking back and forth. They came over to him, everybody, the great love that they had. Each one wanted just to shake his hand. Some wanted to give a Dvar Torah or receive a Dvar Torah. Some a Psak Halacha. But generally, it was the person himself. It's interesting. There is a sugya, Bir'iya Ba'ama Kane, that sometimes just by seeing something, you can be kone, you can acquire, you can get a stronghold on it. With the Rosh Hashiva, that was the way it was. You didn't have to learn a Rabbi Kiva Eger with him. You didn't have to learn halacha with him. You didn't have to talk with him and see what he felt and his hashkafot and all the drashot that he made. He was a Mayan Hamizkaber. He kept giving out more and more. The Svarim that come out, now the Haggadah that comes out, it shows he was an Oilamole. He constantly gave over. However, he always disguised it. You would never, ever know what he held in his brain, what he held in his mind. Years to come, they will still be taking the Torah and still writing it up, because that was the man, the genius, the understanding that he had for every person. Bir'iya ba'ama kane, just by seeing him, observing him, watching him in daven. You watch him pray. We watch him pray. He was crying. He was crying the entire time. You watch him pray. He was jumping. He was dancing. He incorporated everything. All you needed to do was to study him and watch him. And that would be enough, let alone if you talk with him. I just have a few short Divrei Torah dedicated to the great Rosh Hashiva. First, we should know that he was only Torah. He was only Torah. His essence was Torah. Anything else that you could present him with, he really wasn't interested. He was interested in you as a person, but only Torah. There is a tshuva from the great Minchat Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss in Eretz Yisrael. And the tshuva is concerning a yeshiva bachor that did not want to go to secular studies, advanced secular studies. He wanted to learn Torah and yeshiva. His parents were against it. So the parents said, I tell you what, let's go, Da Torah, we'll see what the Posek says. They went. Of course, the son said his piece. The parents said their piece. The Minchat Yitzchak said, you parents, I have to tell you, your son is right. Allow him to go to learn. Support him. I promise you, I, the Minchat Yitzchak, promise you, particular nachat from him, you will never stop smiling. And he did. A few years later, it was raining one day. Rain, so some people come into shul regularly. Some people come in on a rainy day. It's convenient. A guy comes into shul. I happen to repeat this teshuvah from the Minchat Yitzchak. And I said it. Everybody was coming in line to say Shabbat Shalom. That guy, the visitor, came in because of the rain. He's in the back. Okay. He's waiting on line. He gets into the line and he says, Rebbe, I got a big machloket with my son. I got a big problem with my son. He wants to stay and learn in Beit Midrash. And I told him in the beginning of the year, he cannot do that. He got to go out. He got to get a secular education, got to work. He's not staying. And he argued with me. And he didn't go. You're saying, Rak Torah? Rak Torah, Rebbe? Is that what you think is right? I said to him, my friend, I will tell you one thing. Number one, The reason it was raining today is not because of any other reason than you should come here and hear that drasha. Because I wasn't going to say that drasha, but it fell into my head, and Rav Shvadron told me if something falls into my head when I'm speaking, I should say it out. And I didn't even want to say it because I'm usually a little bit more gentle. Michel, no? A little bit more gentle. He begins to talk to me back and forth. I said to him, what are you arguing? Your son came home. He wants to become Talmid Chacham. He wants to become great. He has a love for Torah. He'll learn for you. You don't have to learn. I told him, you don't have to learn. He'll learn for you. Now, isn't that good? By the time we were done, hu bocheh, he began to cry. He said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to think about it. Next Shabbat, he came to the shul. It was a sunny day. He walked over to me and he said, I went and told my son, he is right. It's the first time we talked in 5 months. Rak Torah. If you want to know Rav Volkan, he was only Torah. The man's essence, his mahus, his everything about him, every fiber, was only Torah. Chachmat Adam Ta'er Panav, Kohelet. The wisdom of a person shines in the face. Rav Volkan, walking down the street, he shined, he smiled. Somebody came over to him. He mekabel some. Mekabel b'sever panim yafot like I've never seen. Didn't matter who it was. Even somebody, one time it happened that somebody came and insulted him to his face. You know what he did? He just gave him a pat, smiled at him in a bracha. B'fahesia, I've seen it. Who can do that? I wouldn't do it. I don't have the omets, the courage to be that way. I don't have the patience to be that. And la'avdil ben chaim l'chaim, that was the Rebbe. He was always in that mode. Ask mechila from a person that he did not have to ask mechila from. He would ask forgiveness when he didn't have to. Why is it that everybody feels so close? Interesting, says Chacham Shemet, when a Chacham dies, hakol kerovo, everybody is close. Because everybody tries to say, I was so close to Rebbe. I was the one that he really loved. I was the one he knew. We were together, and Rebbe, you don't know, he told me things. Everybody says that about Rav Volkan, because everybody was. To him, everyone was his favorite. Everyone was his best. Rabbi Simcha Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that there are two seas in the Holy Land, in Eretz Yisrael, the Kinneret and the Yam HaMelech. Kinneret and the Yam HaMelech. The Kinneret, full of fresh water, full of life. Yam HaMelech, salt. Salt. No life at all. The Kinneret, it takes in water, it gives out water. Yam HaMelech only takes in water, doesn't give out. Rav Volkan was a giver. He only gave out. He gave out his kochot. He gave out everything that he had. He had beyond human understanding, the power. The day when he was so ill and he already wasn't feeling well, he called up my son-in-law, Ben Zion, and he told her, Ben Zion Schechter, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to learn tonight. I'm not sure, with a weak voice. Ben Zion got the call. Rebbe saying, I'm not sure I could learn tonight. That sounded serious. It wasn't 4 hours later that the call came in that Rosh Shiva was no longer Ba'artzo Sachayim. He had gone to Shemayim. Every bit of koach that he had, everything that he possibly could do for the klal, he gave. The anivut, the humility, the modesty was beyond. He humbled himself before everyone. So, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness was his modesty, the humility, the greatness of Rav Volkan was his modesty, was his humility before everybody. He loved everybody. There wasn't anyone who he didn't love. A child, an elderly person, a person that came in and was a little bit boisterous, he didn't care. He was makar of everybody. He had an ava for all chachomim. It didn't matter who. I saw him myself. Oh, Roshiva would come in. One of the Roshiva in Lakewood or a Rebbe would come in. He was equal to everybody. He loved them. He himself, great Rosh Hashiva, yet he was machnia to everybody. I just would like to say that he had no greater love than the Talmidim, than Yeshiva Chazak. There wasn't anything that he loved better. When he would come to something in our place in Jackson, he would say, and they would say, could you come into, I'm sorry, I have to be in Yeshiva. And then occasionally they would say, so, Rosh Hashiva, you know, you do live here in Jackson, in Lakewood, maybe, you know, should think about coming over here, we have Yeshiva. He was shocked. He said, this is my Yeshiva. This is my Yeshiva. I could think about moving to Queens, but I couldn't think about anything else. That was a dedication, the ava, and the extreme love that he had for everybody, everyone here. I just want to say a few minutes that when Elisha was taking leave of Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi was going up to Shemayim, so it happened to be Eliyahu HaNavi said, tell me, what would you like? What's your request? What do you want of me before I go? Tell me. Elisha said, Vino pishanayim ruchacho elai. Let there be a double portion of your spirit, of your ruach. Let it be on me. Let it be on me. Eliyahu HaNavi answered Elisha in a very interesting way. Eliyahu HaNavi said, you made a difficult request. This is not simple what you're asking. However, I will tell you the following. If you see me taken from you, then it's going to happen that you're going to get that ruach. If you see me actually going, then you're going to get the spirit. But if you don't, then it will not happen. It's not going to be. We know Rechev, Eish, Suse Eish, the chariot of fire, the horses of fire came down, separated them, and Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim. The Pasuk tells us, Elisha saw it, and what did he say? Avi, Avi, my father, Rechev Yisrael, the chariots of Yisrael and their riders. We don't understand it. Why did Eliyahu HaNavi say, only if you see me taken from you, then you will get the double spirit, then you'll get the ruach? Why? What was the reason for it? The answer is that when a person leaves this world, if we see them, and we remember them, and we make a zecher to them, and we continue to say things and learn the svarim, and go over Rebbe's svarim, if you do that, if you remember, and you cry out, Avi, Avi, on the earth side, Avi, Avi, Father, Rosh Hashiva, Rebbe, my life, my life. If you cry out and you think about it and you go into who he was and what he did, then you get the double ruach. Then you get all the brachos. Then you get every blessing because you have the right hashkafah. You got the right outlook. That is the significance that a person will always remember. On the yard site, the great Gaon, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, Lirot ulei ra'ot. On the Shlosh Galim, we came to Yerushalayim, Mirakodesh. May there be great peace in Eretz Yisrael. May all the Nechamot finish. May all the Chatufim come home safe and sound. May there be Besurot Tovot for Klal Yisrael. What happens when a person begins to think about this? When an individual says, Avi, Avi, he was my father, is my father. It's difficult to go on without him. Then the spirit will always be here. The spirit will be in Chazak. The spirit will be in Yeshiva. This spirit will be in Jackson, in the shul. This spirit will be all over. You carry on the spirit. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, on the day of the yard site, Rebbe comes, we appear in front of him to be seen. Would Rebbe be proud of me? Would he be happy with my progress? Would he agree with the Mahalach that Amad, Uliros, and to contemplate, to think a few minutes about the Rosh Hashiva, how he looked, and how he looks today. Just in finishing, the great Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, the father, Avi Yatomim, brought in orphans to his own house, started Diskin Orphan Home. You go in Eretz Yisrael, see a big, big building, Diskin Orphan Home. What is bigger? Yatom v'amana, Yodeh. Person should always support Yatomim, orphans. There was a little orphan girl that was brought up in the house of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. And while he was there, in the house, one night, the little girl got a shower, a bath, and a shampoo by the Rebbetzin. The Rabbanit gave her. And then the Rabbanit was combing her hair, like they do a little girl after the shampoo, was combing her hair. Rabbi Yeshua Leib passed by the room, in the room where she was, in the outside room, and he saw the girl was crying. Little girl crying. Yeshua Leib, Avi Yatomim. He couldn't see a little girl cry. It was too much for him. He went over to the girl and he said to the little girl, are you okay? Is the Rabbanit, the Rebbetzin, is she combing your hair too hard? The little girl said, no. She's combing it softer than my mother used to. But there's only one thing. When my mother was finished drying and combing my hair, she used to give me a kiss on my head. That kiss nobody gave me since she's not here. A lot of Rebbeim, a lot of Tzaddikim, a lot of Rosh Hashivas. But nobody gives a kiss that the great Rav Wolkin, the great Tzaddik, gave to each and every one of us. You should remember on the night of the yard site of the greatness of High Gavra Rabba, and remember him throughout the year and try in our own Avodat HaKodesh to do the things that he wanted to do and wanted us to do. Teizichu Baruch Umocha Hashem Elokim Dimo Me'al Kopanim.
Thank you, Rabbi Boas, for tremendous, meaningful, tremendous remarks. Of course, we should take all the lessons that we heard from all the Talmidim, the Rabbanim tonight. We should take it with us, share it to other people over the next day, and of course throughout the entire for many years to come. With Hashem, and all the brachot, all the learning that we do, we should continue to remember Rosh Hashiva, and that will inspire us to continue doing more and more Torah mitzvot. The Shema Tzomah Shep and here we Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.